and welcome back to Music City Gold. Guys, this is our third episode. How do you feel about it?
Awesome.
I'm feeling good.
Those are the voices of my lovable, always present co-hosts, Matt Bain and Daniel Mangrum.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, how was y'all's weekend?
Pretty good. I actually ended up playing drums at Lucas Oil Stadium this week, so not bad. 40,000 people.
That'll do.
That's quite a bit. I know I was at the same place you were at playing the drums, but I was there as more of a spectator, and I couldn't do what you were doing. That was just amazing.
Got some sweet footage of me, Kyle.
I did.
I couldn't even see you. You're so tiny up there.
Yeah. I actually, somebody next to me was like, should we give you a box, to quote Lord of the Rings, when Legolas is talking to Gimli?
Well, you do kind of resemble a dwarf. So.
That's true, I do. The more hobbit. I still think about
hairy feet. Hairy feet.
Eh, my feet aren't that hairy. Okay. Matt, was you with us that time we all did the Lord of the Rings dress up for cosplay Halloween?
I didn't do that. Yeah, I was there, but I didn't do that.
Yeah,
it was a party pooper, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Daniel's costume with the elf ears and everything.
He Legolas.
You made a really good Legolas.
Not just any elf, it was the Legolas.
Good and night. I really did look like Legolas. I mean, let's be honest.
You did. There. I mean, I was
full
like,
wig. I was committed.
So. I wish I could find the picture of it because it was just amazing.
I'll find one. See if I can send it to you.
Yeah, I've still got. I've still got the
five fans.
Yeah, I've still got the ring from when I was playing as a Frodo. So, and I actually brought that to work the other day because somebody was a Lord of the Rings fan and they freaked out. So that was
cool. Awesome, Matt. How was your weekend?
Or the week?
Sorry.
Normal. Matt. Yeah, not nearly as exciting as yours. I don't suppose you guys had a nice trip up to Indianapolis. I just did the normal stay at home, train the dog dance.
How's that going?
Better. Yeah.
He's gotten fat.
Yeah, he's grown into his personality. He's getting a little fluffy butt.
Is that because you or your wife are overfeeding him?
No, not at all.
Really, none of you are overfeeding that dog at all?
No, we got him on a strict diet.
Of table scraps.
Something like that.
Speaking of food, do you know who got redemption this week? Fudge.
Yep.
No, I was wondering where you were going with that.
Dramatic pause for effect.
That's right. Andrew Fudge got his own payday. So, last episode, we talked about the horrible, unfortunate case of Andrew Fudge, who won tickets to Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals in Nashville and didn't check his Twitter and lost the tickets, and only found out this month, which we are recording on the 31st of July, for context, he found out earlier in July that he won tickets and didn't get it. Well, Twitter came to the rescue, and if you don't follow hockey Twitter, they are like some of the most awesome people in the world. They are real quick to find something that they throw their weight behind. And so everybody was retweeting on Twitter. It was going on Facebook. It was going on Instagram about Andrew Fudge not getting the tickets. And turns out, guys, the Preds took pity on him, and they gave him tickets opening night.
Yeah.
Which I will say is very admirable. It's not a finals game. But we have no guarantee of making a finals game. So that was the best. That
was something.
It was the best we could do with what we had.
They said, well, at least a consolation, it'll be the game where they raise the banner.
That'll be awesome.
So that's pretty cool. First banner ever raised in Nashville.
Yeah, for us, so. That'll be awesome. So
yeah, I mean, so fun. I think you...
Not bad.
Eh, it's okay. I think the moral of the story is always tweet the team because you never know if they will actually respond to you or not. So Matt, that means you need to treat the... Not treat, but, well, tweet the Red Wings and see if they'll help you out any.
Maybe.
Otherwise, you can feed their scraps of the Little Caesars to your dog.
Nice. Had to slip that in there. I got you.
I saw a post by NHL NBC just a few minutes ago, and it was pretty funny because they wanted to make it seem like really, I don't know, tough and mighty. They're like, oh, a new era has begun. For the Detroit Red Wings, and then, like, pans up, and the picture's like, the Little Caesars Arena, yeah. And I'm like, wow.
Not quite feeling
yeah.
it.
Little Caesars inaugural game.
Yeah.
The dawn of a new era in Motor City.
Yeah, you don't know this, but
that did nothing for me.
The mascot for the Little Caesars Arena is going to be the Little Caesars guy from now on. He's going to be a Red Wing.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
I just hope
I'm not even a Red Wings fan, and, like, that would be horrible. consolation prize, you got all those red banners to go up there. But
that's right.
Other than that, that's kind of painful.
That's something Nashville don't have. They have though, eh?
Well, we're gonna get one.
We have one banner now, thank you.
Well, it's not. We don't have a banner.
We don't have
yet.
It yet, Kyle.
We will have it.
Well, it's probably in the building. Actually, it's probably being printed by the NHL right now to be sent over to us.
But
speaking of banners and stuff, guys, we finally got our RFA signed. And thank God, I am so tired of having to wait on people to get signed. It's just about time.
It was a stressful week. So there's been a lot of signings because we've recorded this. It's been over a week now since our last episode. So we've got a lot to go over to recap.
Quite a few signings in the last 8 or 9 or 10 days or so.
Yeah. Yep. So I actually took a quick list before I came over here to get a good idea. So the first signing we had actually was a minor league signing. So our lovable ads goalie, Merrick Masnik, came back for a year.
1 year.
1 year, and he got a two-way deal. So he's going to get $650K in the NHL, and he's going to get $100K in the AHL, which is not bad for professional hockey.
Yeah.
He's making more than I'm making.
Yeah, I'm playing hockey, so.
He's making more than you guys are making.
I think there's quite a few players on this list that are making more than I'm making, so we'll
see.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy when you think about just how old some of these players are. So we'll take, for example, Victor Arvidsson got signed. Finally, this man is 24 years old, and he signed a 7-year deal for $29.75 million, which gives him a cap hit of $4.25 million.
I don't know how I feel about this because I was really hoping for a short-term deal because with these long-term deals, I feel like all the pressure and all the risk is on the organization now for us because now we have them locked in for 4 years, or 7 years, rather. If he performs well, though, over the 7 years, let me tell you, the 4.25 is going to look amazing and Poyle's a genius. But if he doesn't, it could be a big hit on our cap for years to come. So that was a big risk in my opinion. On the other hand, you got Joey signs the $8 million per year, 8-year, $64 million contract. I felt like that was a really good price for his productivity. And also, he's our number one center now. I mean, it just made sense to pay him that much money. And I feel like he kind of did take a little bit of a pay cut. I was honestly thinking he was going to get 8.5 to maybe 9 a year just based on his productivity and his assists. I mean, because he was an assist machine all year.
No, he wouldn't have gotten 9. I mean, I thought
8.5.
I thought 8.5 was a stretch, so $8 million was fine. And, he's only 25 years old, so we've got him locked up. He's now the second highest paid Pred. I mean, the highest paying Pred that we have is P.K. Subban.
Yeah.
So it goes Subban, it goes Joey, it goes down to Pekka, and then Forsberg. So that's a good, solid lineup for the next couple of years. So it's interesting you talk about Arvidsson. So you're talking about, production, the long-term deal. So in the 15-16 season, he only had 8 goals and 8 assists. Got 16 points total. Now, we take this down to the 16-17 season, and this man comes up with 61 points. He's got 31 goals and 30 assists.
Insane.
So, he's a 4th-round draft pick, and he's tied for the lead in goals and points. For us, alongside Philip Forsberg. He hit the 30-goal mark. The dude's a machine, and his 45-point improvement was the
45-point improvement.
Second most.
Sink in, though.
Go ahead and finish the sentence. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Oh, no. Yeah, you heard me going for it. Yeah, so his 45.
Second most.
Dang it, man.
Keep going, Kyle.
Finish the sentence, Kyle.
He's really wanting to say it. Go ahead.
So, he had the second best improvement for the 16-17 season.
Just say it, Matt. I know you want to.
Who was it behind?
I have no idea.
Connor
McDavid.
He was the most improved.
Which, by the way, signed a massive deal. So,
well, you mentioned Arvidsson and how improved he was. I thought that was another thing that was interesting about his contract. 7 years, average $4.25 million a year. And that's almost – Johansson's making almost double that, even though him and Arvidsson had the same amount of points last year. They both had 61 points. And I wonder if a contributing factor to Arvidsson getting paid significantly less than Johansson is because he is so young and he hasn't had a track record of, excuse me, of keeping that amount of points up general production each year.
Well, who do you think he tied with? So I told you earlier, a few seconds ago, actually, that he had tied for the lead. Guess who he tied with?
Right, Johansson.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Okay.
That's insane.
But when you look at Poile signing him for long-term, 7 years, yeah. He probably actually got him at a reduced rate. Like I said, for him and Johansson to get the same amount of points last year, and yet Arvidsson's making almost a little more than half.
And that's why I'm thinking
of what Johansson's making.
Yeah, and that's what my point is. If he produces like he has been producing, we just got to steal. And our team is going to be stacked
if you waited, if you put him on a 1 or 2 year deal, Arvidsson, and then try to sign him in 2 more years, after he consistently gets about 60 points a year, then you're going to see that salary increase greatly. But since you're signing him at such a long-term deal, relatively young, you're putting a lot of trust in him, and it might bite you in the butt, but at least you're getting a good deal for what he's potentially providing you, which is Johansson-style points production.
Yeah, I mean, it could potentially pay off huge because now the entire Jofa line has signed for long-term.
Right.
You're talking Phillips locked in through 2022 for $6 million a year. Not bad. Then you have RV for another 7 years and Joey for 8. So that, I mean, we're locked in through 2022 with the Jofa line. And like you're saying, if he's putting out Johansson production points for that price,
it's a steal.
It's a steal. And like, you'll expect us to be in the playoffs every single year. Like that's a good mix. Like you're getting a great deal for that price, but he's got to pan
out. So we've got those guys, and then you got to look at the fact that we also got Austin Watson, fourth liner.
That's a good sign.
Got him for 3 years at $1.1 million.
And I think, Matt, in our first episode, didn't you mention a little bit of Watson? It was actually Agberg and Watson because you thought they were excellent for coming up from the AHL and performing the way they did.
Yeah.
So, once again, that's another...
Yeah, I believe that... He pronounces it Auberg, but I've heard Aberg too. So, with names like that, four names, it's a little hard for Americans.
French Canadian.
Yeah. I usually stick with the American lingo of how we say things.
Yep. So we got all of our guys signed. We've got no more RFA, so we can finally stop talking about it.
That's right. David Poile's been busy. I call him Poile Loco. He's been on a tear. Somebody might have to go to his office and get him some new pens because he's wearing the ink out of his pen, signing so many contracts. So
have to admit, though, Poile is an awesome GM.
He's done.
He's been around.
Everybody's taken notice.
Yeah, I mean,
he won GM of the Year for a reason, and this is part of it. He's
not afraid to make the big deal.
I mean, think about this. So we've got all of this people signed, and we still got $5.4 million in cap space. So we can go get somebody else if we need to in the middle of the season for next.
Well, we still have one person that we're waiting on.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Oh, we know, because he's still on his knees praying. And that's Mike Fisher. Hopefully, now the rumors are swirling that this week we should know. So
yeah.
Maybe by our next episode, we will have news.
I think it was Poile who said they're getting close.
It's got to be close at this point.
I think he'll stay.
Speculation. You think he'll stay?
I think he will.
Staying.
He's going.
Why do you think he's leaving?
The longer he takes, I think the closer he's getting to retirement. And guess what? There's no pressure for him to come back because you guys just signed Bonino. So there's no real pressure for him to fill a spot anymore because you guys got it covered.
Matt.
Well, then that question leads to...
Do you
want to
lift a trophy?
I'm just saying.
Do you want to lift a trophy?
Well, I don't think he wants to lift a trophy or not. My question to you, Matt, is if we lose Fisher, who gets captaincy?
Oh, that's another great topic. So,
I have my spec. Go ahead, Matt. I saw the twinkle in your eye.
So, no, go ahead with yours because I got something new to talk
about. No, be my guest,
Matt. All right. Well, you guys just re-signed Johansson for 8 years.
Joey's not getting it.
I'm just saying, you're paying him, what's he, the number one on the team?
No, because I said this, my argument last time was Forsberg, because we'd already signed Forsberg before, and he's young.
He's too young. He ain't getting the C. But Johansson, you're locking him up to be a franchise player.
We locked a lot of people up to be a franchise player.
I'm just saying.
I think Ellis will get it. If Fisher doesn't come back, I think Ellis is a perfect candidate to get the captaincy.
Well, that's who I would pick if I had to go with who you guys have as alternate.
I mean, come on, we can always give the captaincy to Craig Smith.
False.
No, that would not happen.
I don't really think that Johansson could skip. He wouldn't even have an alternate as it is. I don't think he could skip it to go straight to a C. But it's interesting how much faith David Poyle is putting in him. But I think I'm with you, Kyle. I'd have to go with Ellis on this one.
You guys, I'm going to throw out another one.
Well, see, right now we've only got one alternate.
This is
Yossi.
Also controversial just because he hasn't been here long enough. P.K. Subban.
No, Subban won't get it.
No, he's not been here long enough. You said you only have one.
He hasn't been here long enough, but when's his contract up? Do you know when his contract's up?
Subban's contract is up in the 21-22 season.
Exactly.
No, he hasn't served enough time yet.
I don't think he served enough time yet.
He doesn't even have an alternate now. You have to
but
go
do
through
you think,
the
rankings. Do you think eventually he'll be a captain?
No.
No?
I think he'll get the captaincy one day, if not for the Preds, then somewhere else.
I bet he'll be retired before that happens.
You think Subban will retire before
well,
he becomes
a
captain?
Well, if you lock up Ellis or whoever for another 5 or 6 years as a captain, Subban is a veteran. He's not going to stick around for forever.
Well, we now have Arvey through the 23-24 season. We have Johansson for the 24-25. We also have PK through 21-22. We have Forsberg through 21-22. Yarncroak. Ekholm. That's impressive, actually, how many players we have signed through the 21-22 season.
You guys know where I stand on defense. Defense is my favorite. And since you guys are known to have one of the strongest D-corps in the league, I think it would only be fitting that one of the defensemen gets the captain role.
Do you think Yossi gets it?
No.
Yossi's already
not Yossi, but I'm just
saying.
He's
got an alternate. He's got to get an A before he gets a C.
All right.
Well,
I'm just using your logic here. But I don't agree with it. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying it would look real nice for some of the best D corps in the league to make a D their captain.
I mean, I love Ellis.
I don't choose
but Ellis wasn't an alternate.
Yossi, but Ellis is not an alternate.
He wasn't. No. We had Neil.
Oh, that's right.
Gone.
Neil was the other one.
Yeah, you had Neil, and you had Yossi, and then you had Fisher as the C. Well, now Fisher's contract is technically over. He's, looking at Cat Friendly here. Cat Friendly doesn't even list him on here because his contract is done.
It's expired right now.
And so Neil got shipped off to Vegas, unfortunately. So you've got to, if he doesn't come back, you've got to fill the C and you've got to fill an A.
Well, then in that case, I guess you are going to have to break the mold. I'm betting Yossi does not get it, which means somebody that doesn't have an A gets a C.
Oh,
I don't know how often
like
that happens.
PK
Subban. That would be awesome, but
I think PK would get an A for sure.
Yeah.
In that situation. If Mike doesn't come back, PK gets an alternate for sure. Because I think PK's personality fits in with Nashville.
What about Johansson?
He's not defensive.
Well, yeah, but he's kind of the face of your team now. I'm going to say,
here's
a controversial statement. Pekka's kind of getting older. He's kind of phasing out. I think here comes the era of Johansson for you guys, and he's going to be...
They did say this. I saw several tweets and several postings online saying that the Johansson deal is almost ushering in like a new era for the Preds. Essentially, like, they didn't call it a dynasty, but they're calling it like, we know that for the next 5 to 6 years, we're going to be a good team. Like, we're going to compete. We're not going to be the team that's scrapping to get in the play. Like, we know we can be good and we can be even better and we can potentially win a championship in that time period. But that's what everyone's saying now.
Yeah,
with this Johansson deal.
That actually, sets it up. The fact, we've got a cup window. As I said last episode, we have a legitimate cup window now that's opened up for, I'd say, probably four to five years.
4 to 5, probably. I mean, realistically, through the 21-22 season, because that looks like how most of our signings are on, as far as our contracts go. You got the Jofa line now reunited, all healthy. You got Nick Bonino coming back.
Well, that brings a question.
Like, is the second or third.
With Nick Bonino coming in, I looked at, what is it, left wing block or the starting line configurations, and they had Bonino on the first line, actually. So that brings up a quick. That's probably not accurate.
That's not accurate.
No, he'll be a second line person.
He'll be.
So it's interesting that they had that up there because I did see that on their website.
I guarantee you he'll be a second.
He's going to be our second line.
So you don't think they're going to break up the Joe Filippo?
No. Why would we sign all those people?
All the stuff we just talked about. That's all that's directly results of the Joe Filippo line.
Which is why, like I said, you guys are strong D, but you have so much money tied up in the Jofa line. I kind of want to see one of them. They're such a leader. I kind of want to see one of them at least get an alternate, even though I'm a defense guy myself. But
I could see Arvidsson get an A. He's
the heart and soul.
He's the heart and soul of the team. Like, I don't think he would get the captaincy. Like, I really don't think he would, but I think it might help put some pep in the step if they gave him the A. Just because of all the work he puts in.
And once again, this is all dependent on Fisher. Like, if Fisher comes back, hardly anything changes. He gets the C, Yossi still has an A, someone gets an A, and it'll probably be Ellis.
I'm just curious. We mentioned that the Jofa line, I said maybe mixing things up. Every now and then, you'll see coaches do that. They'll change the lines a little bit to try to find some, get some spring in the step if things are going wrong. But things are going so right, I don't know if you can make a great argument to try to change the Jofa line.
No.
Other than
Did
trying to...
Did you see
to,
our time of possession charts in the playoffs? They're not.
Other than trying to distribute some of that scoring down the lines a little bit?
We did, after Johansson got injured.
Yeah.
We dropped Arvey to like third line.
Yeah, almost y'all's Gujo. Last couple lines were...
Yeah. Them all. They all stepped up.
And that's where they
But that wasn't really intentional. That just kind of was an accident. It was a happy accident.
But it's a good depth. We've got a good system in Milwaukee that... Got them ready. They came up and they stepped in and filled the role.
It worked when you have, top line players playing on the third line. Now your third line on the other team's worried about trying to match up against a first liner. So it did help us. Granted, I would have preferred to have Johansson back for the entire, finals. But
so speaking of the finals, our actual Stanley Cup run actually got us some great national attention. To the fact that we've got 7 games next season that are going to be nationally televised on NBCSN. So we've got a game.
That's mind-boggling.
I think we're finally getting the respect that Nashville wants. I think that's what we're going to do.
You know why? Because we got them some seriously good ratings this year as far as TV.
Yeah, Nashville is always in the top viewership ratings for the finals.
They were saying that this year, basically, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I know that Nashville was one of the highest viewing areas. Philadelphia was one of them.
And don't forget Knoxville.
Knoxville, anything Tennessee related, because UT Vols, we basically bleed orange in Tennessee when it comes college football season, but they got behind the Predators too. I mean, it was nuts. Absolutely nuts how many people were tuning in for these shows, and you know that the NHL, first of all, loves that because they're wanting to grow their television presence because they don't feel that hockey translates well to the TV. So the fact that we were getting such good ratings and people are like, oh man, this crowd sounds so loud on the TV, it's almost like they're at the game too. So,
well, what do you think caused the ratings? I mean, do you think it was us either sweeping the Blackhawks or making the finals that got them into the ratings? Which is bigger for that?
Like, which was a bigger accomplishment?
Yeah. I mean, because those ratings are good, but what led to that? Because I know that the Blackhawks to me were more of a personal thing. It's like we were taking it very seriously. It's like when we first beat Detroit, we got over the hump with Detroit, and then it becomes okay. Now Chicago is Chicago's the hump we're over, and then we get past Chicago, and all of a sudden people are like, this team's actually doing well, and then we jump to the finals. Which just boosts our ratings even more.
I think here's the deal. You swept Chicago, so the whole league loves you at that point.
That's
other
true.
Than Chicago.
Well,
then
Chicago fans can they
then
can do
you
whatever.
Get to the finals, and then naturally Philadelphia is behind you because Pittsburgh made the finals, and guess who they do not want to see win the finals? The Penguins. So I think there's a lot of factors that go in behind those ratings, but I think on a personal level, I think making the finals was more meaningful than sweeping the Blackhawks.
I figured you'd say that.
We're going to play the Blackhawks almost every year. We in the playoffs, that the Blackhawks are basically going to be there, and you're going to have to go through them.
I mean, one of our games is going to be televised. That's the January 30th is one of our nationally televised games against the Hawks, so you know they had to do it.
Oh, yeah. That, and they'll play, they'll have a rematch one. Really, I think probably our second game will be against Pittsburgh.
Well, I think I'll disagree with you as far as which one was bigger and meant more for the franchise. I'd have to say sweeping the Blackhawks meant more than making the Cup. And I'm probably going to be outnumbered on that.
I don't know.
But
mentally, though, it was huge. Mentally,
it was a huge mental block.
It was the snowball. It started the snowball. It was monumental, sweeping the Blackhawks, which has been a big hump for you guys. And put, when you went to the finals, sad to say, you lost. That was kind of a down note. It was all happy and excitement, you know, Cinderella story, but you lost. So that kind of puts a down note. And sweeping the Blackhawks was so successful, I have to put that as that's the thing that even led to the finals. So I think that was more monumental.
I think sweeping the Blackhawks,
and it's just a happier memory,
built up more momentum for next seasons and future seasons because we know we can do it now. Does that make sense? Like, we know that that team, first of all, we were coming in and they were like, oh, Blackhawks are about to destroy the Predators. Like, that was all the headlines before. Blackhawks in 4. Blackhawks in 5. That's all I heard. Maybe they can eke out one. Well, when we go into their house, shut them out 2 times in a row, people were like, what's going on? Yeah. Oh, wait. We'll just wait for the Blackhawks to come back. They're going to win 4 in a row. It's going to be okay.
Well, it really puts some belief in your guys' system. Like I said before, you guys just kind of squeaked in the playoffs. You might not have the most confidence in yourself. And when you go out and pull a move like that, that is a confidence builder. And that has to feel great going in. When you get hot at that moment, that's the time to get hot.
And just looking at the player, we wanted it more. We wanted it more. Someone, this was my favorite comment of the series. We out-blacktalked the Blackhawks in that series.
I did notice that one of the videos they had of the Blackhawks, and when I think it was either, it may have been Nashville's practice facility, where Q was so mad at the Hawks for basically getting out play that he was making them do like battle board drills trying to get the puck because Nashville was just taking the puck for them constantly.
We were destroying them against the boards. It was out hustling everything. I mean, you could see that our team wanted it more. It meant more. We were hungrier.
I think the Hawks just thought they could come in and run us over, and
well, for years they have. So
it was justified feeling that they could do it.
We have been run over by them, so you know, I guarantee you, the next playoffs that's not going to happen. I guarantee you, they're going to be out for blood next playoffs. You better believe if we get matched up against the Hawks, that's going to be one of the nastiest. That'll be one of the nastiest playoff matchups. Next season, you mark my words, Blackhawks and Predators, that will be off the chain. That won't be a 4-game series. It'll be a 6-7 game series, and there will be blood on the ice.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. I fully believe it. There's no way the Blackhawks are gonna go out again on a sweep. Not happening.
No matter what will happen, I think it's going to be a real special event, which leads me to something I want to talk about that we didn't get to last week because we ran out of time. And you guys listening at home, I'm sure you all have those words that you hate.
Oh, God. No, and, no, yeah, don't
gonna,
say it.
We're going to talk about it for a second.
Here comes a Kyle rant coming up.
That's right.
Go ahead, Kyle. What do you want to talk about?
Talk about what I think is the most overused / hated word in hockey. And for me, I hate the word special.
Special?
Do you relate to it?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's frustrating because it's like you get a new player comes in and the media asks him, well, what was it like having your debut? And the player's like, it was really special. Okay, that's fine. That's to me appropriate. And they're like, you scored your first goal. How was it? It was special. Okay. And then they go, you know, you just won the game, game-winning goal. How was it? It was special. I'm like, guys, come on. Can you not think of another word?
That's
like,
the post-game.
I know. It's like, let's think about it.
A special moment.
Other words for special. Awesome, amazing, fantastic, unreal.
All the crowd was really special tonight. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Sometimes
credit
jocks
to the fans,
aren't known to have
really
the
special
biggest heads and vocabulary, so.
It's like, guys, if you're gonna do it, use other words. What do you guys? You guys have a word that you hate?
Speaking of celebrations.
Uh-oh.
There's a certain word that I loathe greatly, and it is silly.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Why? Are you selling me something? No. Do not say silly. It's a celebration. I don't care. I don't even care for celebration. He is performing an act after he scores a goal. Do not call it a silly. I hate that. And twig, for some reason, for a hockey stick. I'm just like, why are you calling it a twig?
Well, because it used to be a piece of actual wood.
I understand. But they're not wooden anymore. They're composite sticks. It's not a twig. It sounds terrible, too. Don't say that. Oh, no. I got one more. I about flipped over the microphone. And this one goes out to my man, Stu.
Oh, gosh.
Never. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going.
If this man says pickle poked one more time on the air, I will turn the television off. I do not want to hear that ever come across my TV in, like at 9 o'clock at night, pickle poked. No. Stop, Stu. Just stop.
I will say, Stu does have a rich vocabulary of words he likes to use in situations.
Pickle poke should not be in it because that is dumb.
You know another overused phrase? I'm going to take this slightly different. You mentioned post-game. Something that all players like to do in a post-game interview, and they say a particular word about 1,000 times. Every one of them does it, obviously. They all like to say it.
Easy, Snape.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Is it that obvious?
Yes, they're like, how did it feel playing today on two games back-to-back? Oh, you know, obviously it was hard. You know, we got the team chemistry together. But they say obviously like 5 times in the middle of the interview, and they don't even say their sentence first. They say obviously first. Well, tell me what the sentence you're going to say, and then tell me obviously. And it really isn't that obvious, or we wouldn't have to be asking you the question. It'd be self-explanatory.
There's so many, but silly and pickle poke.
Oh, the best is the meme where it's got Selly, and then the picture behind it is Kuznetsov's little bird floppy celebration he does.
I remember that.
Yeah, that looks so retarded.
Yeah. Speaking of Sellys, I think my most impressive Selly I saw this year was Arvidsson's salute.
That was my favorite Selly because I'm going to say it now. Just because it's irking Matt now. But that was my favorite goal-scoring moment because he kind of like just – he shot it in and just kind of gracefully peels off to the left wing and then just goes, salute, like to the crowd. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro? But it was fantastic. Worked in the moment.
I will say whoever runs the NHL social media, they do a really good job of grabbing those photos from the team social media and get them like sent out. Because I remember when they did the Arvidsson, they said some little quote about it. And people were just like, oh, it's a sick Selly and stuff like that.
Oh, God. Sick Selly, man. No. That sounds so stupid. Why are full-grown hockey players saying that? No. Okay. Well,
come on.
I'm done.
They make millions of dollars. They can do what they want. Mm-hmm. All we can do is sit here and criticize them, knowing that these people are younger than us, and they make more money than we're probably going to make in our lifetime.
I mean, this is true.
That's what somebody said on Twitter.
It's super sad.
He said, you know, Johansson is, I forget his age, 26 or something. He said, oh, he's 26. He's just scored $8 million a year. He said, I turn 26 next month, and I'm accepting Subway gift cards.
Oh, yeah, that was Robbie. He's a really good hockey journalist.
Yeah, that's what
I do like following his stuff. And Joey's 25, by the way.
Thank you, fact checker.
Hey, cat friendly. If you guys have never been the cat friendly, that's what we use for a lot of our research. It's a really good tool to use if you're interested in the math of what goes on these things. It's awesome. I'm not really good at math, so this helps me out because I'm terrible with numbers. So, all right. So, Matt, what do I have on this sheet here I'm looking at? It says...
Oh, this is my favorite portion of the show where we...
It says Ryan...
dive deep into Matt's mind and what he thinks about at night.
I know. Sure. It says Ryan Ellis's favorite food. Do we know what his favorite food is?
No.
We're about to speculate.
Yeah, we're just going to speculate as to what it is. A guy with such an epic beard like that, you know he's a really interesting personality. So I just thought it'd be interesting to go around and...
Shameless plug for our followers on Twitter. please provide us with questions so that we don't have to do these. We will continue to have Matt's segment, but we would prefer to have questions from my audience, so please tweet us some awesome and hilarious questions for us to discuss.
Yeah, we love getting new followers, and every week, you know, we get new ones, so join the club if you've not listened. If you're listening for the first time, join the club. We'd love to have you.
Follow us on Twitter.
All right, so I'll go first. I think with Ellis's beard, I could see him catching a salmon barehanded and biting into it.
That's a great choice, Kyle.
I went the really masculine, lumberjack route.
Just standing in the river.
I too
jumps Alaska. Up, grabs it, and just bites
like
into it.
Like a grizzly bear.
Wow.
Okay, I went the lumberjack route as well. He is Canadian. So we are going to have a stack of pancakes with real maple syrup.
Yeah.
Side of bacon. You can see it, like the bacon bits on his beard with the syrup. Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the Ron Swanson.
Beard, yeah.
Kind of drips into his mouth a little bit. Remembers what how good it tasted?
He totally would rock that.
About you, Matt? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go a little less stereotypical man or Canadian. I'm going to go something a little more realistic, probably. And I'm going to say lasagna or pasta.
That's a terrible choice.
Why is that a terrible choice?
He's not Italian.
So? The man needs carbs before a game. He needs, it's just a normal meal. That's many people's favorite meal, more so than grabbing a salmon out of the lake.
But which is more epic? Sitting down, eating lasagna?
Barehanded.
Grabbing a salmon barehanded.
You see what I did there?
All right.
Stole my joke.
Sorry. Intercept.
Right. Well, we seem to not have a conclusive answer for that question, but I didn't expect we would.
Well, you know,
it's just
we
funny
might
to
have,
speculate.
You know what we might have a conclusive answer on or might be on our list is the top five teams that we would play for currently. And that's right. I put emphasis on currently.
Yep.
Because some of these teams I would not have had on my list, which might be controversial years ago.
I'm sure. So last week, well, not so last week, with the last episode we did, we talked about the five teams we didn't want to play for. Thought it went great. We got a good response out of it from people, so we decided to flip it around and say, here's the top five teams we would play for. So, which one of you guys want to start? Me?
Kyle, you kick it off.
You start.
All right, I'll kick it off.
So we can roast you.
So, number five. If I'm a brand new hockey player.
Oh, God. He has a full monologue leading up to this. Go ahead.
I do. I want to
preface
play.
your answer here.
I do. Actually, I've got stuff next to all of them, so. If I'm a brand new hockey player, I want to play a brand new franchise. So I pick Golden Knights.
No, casinos, no, slot machines.
I'm getting trouble down there.
Look, I can take my paycheck, a little bit of it.
And lose it all on the same night.
Take it to the roulette table or the slots, get a little extra dough, spending money. A little extra,
yeah. The house always wins for a reason, so. Anyway, okay.
That was a cute little category, though. New players play for a new franchise. I like it.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, except they had an expansion draft, and like people like Fleury are playing for them. Not new players.
Well, you got to have somebody on the team.
They did draft new players.
They actually got to the draft. Like,
did
you see their opening game is going to be against the Coyotes, which it's sad to say that I think they might actually win their opening game.
They will.
I really honestly think they're going to win their opening game.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, who do you got number five for you?
Number five. This one might be a little strange, but hear me out. New York Rangers.
Yeah, I can see it.
Why, because of Shattenkirk going there?
No. Not even Shattenkirk. It's my man, Lundqvist. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this dude?
He is a beautiful
man.
If
you have not seen him, Google him. He's like, not in a creepy way. He is a good-looking dude. He's classy. He's just an all-around great player, first of all. He had that hit to the neck where he came back. I mean, they really advised him not to play hockey anymore. Dude's just a beast in general. I mean, he drives a Lamborghini. And he's oh, yeah. He's got, like, he's driving a Lamborghini. He has a sailboat. And he's rocking, like, a three-piece suit with a beard and, like, a handlebar mustache.
Right
and
here.
He's a goalie.
Look at that.
Oh, my. Look at him.
Second photo. You look up Henrik Lundqvist. Second photo.
The hair.
Yes, it's the hair. It's fantastic
freaking
hair.
Freaking amazing hair. He's like 30-something.
Little envious of that hair.
He's great, but on top of that, besides my Love for Lundqvist.
Do you just want to go there because you got a man crush on Lundqvist? Or?
Madison Square Garden. You get to play in Madison Square Garden every night. Not a lot of people can say that. That is a very special venue in the U.S.
Shut up. You said special.
Oh, I was wondering what your problem
special
was.
Word. Very special. Well, that was a good time to use the word special. That is a special venue for the U.S., so go ahead.
All right. Well, no man crush on my number five. Mine is going to be an interesting choice, and it's not going to make sense until I explain it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to have to preface mine as well, is Vancouver Canucks.
Why? It's a horrible team.
I think,
next to last year, but the reason being...
I did not have them on my list. I think Kyle had them on his top five teams he wouldn't play for.
And we remember why, because they kept changing owner. The ownership got changing the head coach all the time.
But the reason being, there's a lot of different decision-making processes that go into where you want to play. Not only do you want to play for a good hockey franchise...
He's going to go ahead.
But where do you want to live?
Yeah, Vancouver's
gorgeous. I have always wanted to visit Vancouver. We thought about taking our honeymoon to Vancouver, actually.
Where'd y'all go?
We went to Florida.
Icy beaches. Totally the icy beaches of...
We thought we'd say Vancouver for another time, but I would love to go there. And yeah, they're not quite excellent at hockey at the moment, but I would love to live there. And I would,
I would love to visit. I don't know about living there because winter would suck.
No. Vancouver is rainy all the time. It's right above Seattle.
It's just north.
Toronto sucks for ice pretty much everywhere else. Vancouver is like Seattle.
I would definitely not. Yeah, I couldn't do like Montreal. I couldn't do the Winnipeg. Oh, God, yeah, no.
Nope.
Okay, sorry. Okay, Kyle, number four.
Number four is when I first, a couple of years ago when I started getting to hockey, I thought about, I want to have fun a team I like in each division. And this was my favorite team at the time, and it's changed since then. But my favorite team on the East Coast was the Lightning because I love Tampa Bay. I got to visit last season for an away game because my work at the time had a hotel down there, so I just took a quick weekend road trip to go down there, watch the boys play the guys in blue, and it's very hot down there. And those Jokers stood out in 90-degree weather in October in their jerseys. I don't know how they did it, but the atmosphere was great. I loved it. And the bay, Tampa Bay itself, is a beautiful.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, my work's hotel was on St. Petersburg, and so I had to take a bridge across the bay. Fell in love with it. Like, if I could retire there right now, I might do that. So that's my number four. What's yours, Daniel?
Number four for myself. Donna.
Yeah.
Donna.
I feel you.
Donna, you go party with Joe Thornton? Donna. Yes, because this is San Jose Sharks.
That's what I'm talking about.
Get you a bite.
You want to go play
I love the Shark Tank, let me tell
you. You want to go play in an arena that you can't see anything
in. It builds on my business entrepreneurial side. It's the Shark Tank. And then on top of it, they have great fans, great location, California. Not in downtown like Anaheim or Los Angeles, so you're a little bit more out of the city. You're very close to San Francisco. You got the beach. You got the Shark Tank. You have awesome players, awesome staff. I mean, who wouldn't want to play with Thornton? Let's just be honest. He's kind of awesome. Then on top of it, have you seen some of the playoff swag they give their fans? It's fantastic. They have these little, like, hand shark things.
Oh, yeah. I have seen those. Those are cool.
Jaws. They do really great crowd interactions as well. I think that's another franchise that does really well, like the Preds, as far as, like, fan interaction. So I like everything they're doing in Tampa.
I'm still going to disagree with you. I've never been there, but watching...
It's not Tampa Bay.
Watching the Sharks play games on the television, the arena always looks super dark, and it just bugs me.
I think that has to do with their color choices, too. You're talking, like, black and, like, a deep teal, like a navy teal. It's not navy. It's more like a teal. But that's also – that. I think that venue's pretty old, too. So
it might just be the lighting.
I think they're going to be going probably for a new stadium in the next 10 years or so. We'll see. But anyways, number four, Sharks. Love the location, staff, players. Kind of got nice overall package.
Well – speaking of new stadiums, my number four, Detroit Red Wings.
Get that little hot and ready.
That's right. And I figured you guys would think I would have it farther down on my list.
I figured it'd be your number one. Yeah. But we are talking, and I will mention this later on, not to spoil, but okay. This is our current list. Our current list.
Yep.
I will say that because this list 5 years ago would have been totally different.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By the way, 5 years ago, I probably would have had Detroit on my list.
Yeah.
I might. I don't know.
I probably would have because, no, you got to think. They're powerhouse at that point. Like, they're making the playoffs every single year, and they're still playing in the Joe. Who wouldn't want to play for them? Now?
In their golden era, they were awesome.
Yes.
But right now, hockey in there is okay. It's the end of their dynasty. They're done. I mean, I was waiting for them to go out of the playoffs for 2 or 3 years, and they just finally squeaked out last year. Ever since Lidstrom retired, and then ever since Pavel Datsyuk left, I was like, yeah, we're done.
Will they come back? Yes. Eventually, they'll come back.
It's going to be years down the road. It's not, yep. Their time is over. But who, you know, it's sentimental for me, Detroit. But I don't really want to live in Detroit, you know. Even the Pistons don't play in Detroit.
Yeah, because they know
sad.
It sucks.
You know? So
that's very
it's a sentimental choice for me. But that's why it's all the way up to number 4 and not closer down the list, because I don't really want to live there.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to live in Detroit. So go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, well, my number 3, and I've got one thing. I actually... Kind of one of my bucket lists is to go to the arena and actually do this. I want to go play with the Blue Jackets.
Wow, that's an interesting choice. Wow. Please explain to me why you would want to go to Columbus, Ohio.
Simple.
Vacation, destination, wedding right there.
The Cannon.
Yeah, I figured that was coming.
Yep.
I've heard it said that when the cannon goes off, it sounds like a gunshot.
No way.
Waiting for it. You're welcome.
Somebody should give you the captain or the C because you're captain obvious. So go ahead.
Yeah, I gave y'all that one for free. Someone told me that joke at work.
Put it on a T for us.
Somebody told me that joke at work, and I was like, oh, I'm going to use that.
Okay.
But that cannon is just great, and it's cool because the guys get to dress up in little colonial uniforms, and
I will say that.
Well, the union Lame. Type uniforms, and get to fire the cannon. It's cool. I like it.
Lame.
Okay.
Whatever. All right, Daniel.
Well, Kyle, on my number 3, you had already had this on your list, so you kind of stole my thunder, or in this case, lightning, because Tampa Bay was number 3. I also have visited the Tampa Bay area. And much like Kyle, I would agree, it's absolutely gorgeous because on that side of Florida, the sun sets. It's beautiful. Great beaches. I really love their energetic fans. Also another pun for lightning. And then on top of it, I do love their jerseys, and I thought their redesign was fantastic. And I do like some of their alternate jerseys that they came out, like Reebok Storm. They have like
the
this
black
awesome
bolt.
Black Bolt jersey.
Yep. Yeah,
oh my
good.
Goodness, it looks so good. That's what I want the Predators to do. Anyone out there for Adidas listening, please do the charcoal with the gold with the white emblem. Just make it happen.
You know that...
I don't want black. I just want the charcoal with the gold piping.
Don't you have a jersey like that? Wasn't it the All-Star game that has the black and gold?
We have the black and gold, which looked great.
It looked good.
It looked
and that was
really
similar
good.
To the Predators
and it would
colors.
Be very yeah. similar if we did a charcoal and gold and why I thought that would be an amazing third jersey. I'm still on that. Somebody please just help me out if you know anyone at Adidas because I want that to happen. Anyway, Tampa Bay Lightning, number 3.
All right, well, off to my number 3. You know where I'm going down? I'm going down to San Jose. I'm going to hang
yeah.
out with the Sharks.
You guys are
well.
Terrible. Why?
Jumbo Joe. The Sharks. Who doesn't want to play for a team that's the Sharks? I love to pick my teams based on
their
logos.
And,
yeah.
You mean a team that Patrick Marleau just left and went to Toronto?
Yeah, well, they still got a lot of good pieces of the puzzle there.
Who?
Everybody else.
Name me one.
Jumbo Joe. You got Joe Pavelski.
Ooh, I do like Pavelski.
I just don't buy it. I just can't do it.
And I had picked them, I guess it was 2 years ago, to win the cup in my bracket. I really liked them. Yeah, that was the year they lost in the finals. That was the year I picked them to win. That's right. So I'm still in love with San Jose, so that's where I would go for my number 3.
Fine. All right, well, my number 2 is not Chicago, because I absolutely
obviously
hate Chicago. But I would dare say that if Calgary came to Chicago during the Great Chicago Fire, they would have been held responsible for it.
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, sweet Lord. Go ahead, Kyle.
Calgary is where I would play for number two.
Calgary?
Yeah.
Why? Please explain.
Johnny Gaudreau.
Dude, oh, wow. You're a fanboy?
Yeah, I'm a fanboy. Dude's fantastic. I like him. Plus, their red jersey of the Black Sea has my heart. It's a fantastic looking jersey. Plus, they've got one of the oldest arenas left, which is the Saddle Dome. And I noticed during the playoffs, they gave them some sort of like, I guess like beer koozie or something like that. That had
Kyle's in it for the beer koozie.
It was like a light. Not a beer koozie, like a glass.
Who cares about the surroundings?
I know,
who cares about where I live? I could live in a garbage can, but I got that beer koozie.
I'm in it for the bobbleheads.
And it had like a goal light.
Nine at the arena.
It had a goal light on the bottom of it that you could turn on, which I thought was super cool.
So. Okay.
Like, whatever. Calgary, I think it's awesome.
Calgary, man. Do you even know, like, anything near Calgary? Like, where would you live in Calgary?
I don't know.
I'm sure they have some nice... Anyway, okay. Every city's got a couple nice spots. Anyway, my number two. Oh, you'd think you may have struck gold. But it's black gold because it's the Oilers, baby.
Nice. I
love the Oilers. Man, I've had puns all night.
I just want to paraphrase.
Stop. Don't shut me down now,
I'm
Kyle.
Not shutting you down. I'm just simply saying... We didn't have these puns planned ahead of time.
No, they're even in my book.
We're just,
I have a little book with the top five right here, and no puns planned. Okay, anyway, Oilers. Why? First of all, the nostalgia factor is real there.
You mean you're not a Connor McDavid?
No, I'm a Gretzky fan. I love their jerseys. I love their fans. They are very loyal. You also have a brand new arena that looks amazing. Then on top of it, you have a young gun team. That's why these are the young guns. You give them probably five more years, Oilers are going to be stupid good because they have all the young players on there.
Well, they better be if you're paying McDavid $12
million. Yeah, granted, I think they'll run into some cap issues by giving Superstar the amount of money that he wanted, because if you look at people like Crosby, he's not making as much as that. But they're winning championships, so it's an interesting God, what's the word I'm looking for?
Special?
No, not special. We can cut that one out. Anyway, it's an interesting paradigm to see, like, certain teams or certain superstars go for that high maximum contract, where others take a reduced renown, to make. Maybe get more championships. And I think that's what has happened in Pittsburgh, and I think that's why Pittsburgh's success has been correlated to that. And I don't know if that will translate well for the Oilers. I think the Oilers are going to live and die by Connor McDavid because of his contract. That said, I think the next couple of years they could potentially be really good, especially before all their young guns have to sign extended contracts.
Yeah.
Once they have to extend those contracts, I think they're going to taper off. But for now, they're going to be young. They're going to be fast. They're going to be flying. Well, they got a new venue. They got everything going for them right now.
It's like I said a few years ago, you know, they were consistently the bottom of the league. So when they draft, they got the best picks. You know, you're getting you got Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent, Hopkins, who I don't think plays for them anymore. But you're getting some of the best players, Connor McDavid, and they're the young guns, and they're great to watch. You know, you're going to see them rise into stars, like you said. So I've always rooted for them. I love the underdogs. Connor McDavid, he's getting too much of a fanboy. Everybody loves him. You know, I root for the underdog. Like last year, I always root for the rookies. But now that he's getting too popular, he's turning into a Sidney Crosby. Everybody loves him, so I'm done. I don't like what everybody else likes. So I'm going to pass on Connor McDavid. But
yeah, I think that as well. I don't think that max contract's going to do him any good for the future. I think next couple years they're still going to be good. But
all right, Matt, what's your number two?
All right, number two, close to home, I'll play for Nashville.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Hold on. Oh, my God, I about fell out my chair.
You would play for Nashville.
You just put the Nashville Predators in front
of Detroit.
Yeah. Two spots in front of Detroit. You were at four.
All right, remember, there's a lot of different things that go into making the decision. The current state of hockey in Nashville is awesome. The atmosphere in Nashville is great.
Oh,
it's got a lot.
I would say we need to get this on record, but we are right now.
Yeah.
So keep talking.
But the main reason, here's the main reason. It's where I live. So you talking about it's got to be hard on players to uproot their life and move to a new city every other year. I would love to play for the team I live near now. That way I wouldn't have to uproot my whole life and my family and have to move somewhere else.
And you can't deny fans.
Right now. Yeah, it's a great state of hockey. It's where we currently live, so it has to be on my list. I'm sure it's on your guys' too, but
well, I mean,
it is interesting. I picked that over Detroit.
That is very, like, that's absolutely shocking to me. Like, that blew my mind.
I thought it burst your bubble a little bit.
Like I said, I needed it on record, and here it is. We now have it forever sealed. So, go, Kyle. I wonder what your number
one's gonna
be. I don't
bleed gold, but I would play for gold.
I'll tell you this. Nashville is not my number
one. Or silver.
Oh, not your number one, Kyle.
Nashville wasn't even on your list.
I thought I knew you.
I love Nashville, but...
You're such a traitor.
Not a traitor. We just talking about
Nashville's not even on your
for.
List?
You said top five.
Yeah.
And we're at
you
one.
You had five chances to pick Nashville.
Okay, let's be honest. When I was going through this, I was going off teams that I just literally like fanboy over after.
Okay. Okay. Right. I get that mentality. But...
So...
Still interesting.
Let's stay on record. If Nashville wanted me to play, definitely would.
Oh, yeah. Goalie, right? Oh,
yeah, goalie.
Give him an offer sheet.
All 5'4", me and goalie.
5'4". Kyle would lay sideways and still wouldn't touch post to post.
Anyway, so, Matt, you'll love this. This kind of is going to go from a dig you made of last episode.
All right, awesome.
If I'm going to pick my number one team to play for, just because I love them, it's going to be the Capitals.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Because they are everything.
No, they're not everything.
Great.
How can you,
come
Kyle,
on.
No.
Listen to
Give
me.
Give me the facts that backs up everything that's greatness. If talking about choking in the playoffs.
Look, you've got Ovechkin, Holtby, Oshie, Beagle, Orpik, and Orlov, just to name a couple. Plus, I love listening to their broadcast staff. They are so good at
and
their
guess
jobs.
Guess what? You know what's in the travel brochure? Every year you get to lose to the Penguins in the playoffs.
That is true. But I do love them.
You're the best freaking team in all of hockey. For the regular season, and then you choke every year. I couldn't do it. I feel bad for Ovi. I'm sorry.
I feel bad for him, too. But I've got to watch the Capitals play live against the Flyers, and I loved it. I mean, the atmosphere was great. Not as great as the Nashville experience. But
which
it was
not on your list, by the way.
Whatever. Anyway, Daniel, what's your number one?
Well, I think you kind of know what my number one's going to be. But I kind of want to explain and preface this a little bit. Kind of like Matt said, yes, it is my current hometown. I have grown up in this hometown. I have watched it grow into a hockey city, and the fans are incredible. I'm going to say this, though. 5 years ago, I do not know if it would have been in my top five.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Because this is the current list. And if you talk to any player in the league right now, if they had an opportunity to come to Nashville, they would come to Nashville.
I absolutely agree
like
with that.
Any player right now, if you asked them, because they know we're hot, they know we have the fans, they know we have the backing, the support of the town, you have really great, awesome staff, you have really cool players, first of all. I would say that Smashville would be on the list. I'll just put it like this. Musician friend of mine flies into Indy. He is from California. He's got plenty of teams he can pick. Hasn't really gotten into hockey. Instead of flying out of Indianapolis, he decides to drive down to Nashville and leave out of Nashville over the weekend. So he decides to stay 2 nights in Nashville. One night and then one extra day in downtown. Next thing I know, I'm on Instagram and I see all these posts of Broadway. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a picture of Bridgestone Arena with the new banner,
which is fantastic.
And he literally, like, I messaged on it and he was like, dude, I'm not a hockey fan, but seeing the support even in the off season, he was like, there's flags still everywhere. Like, they're still in downtown. Like, people are still wearing gold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, seeing the support, he's like, I'm now a hockey fan and I'm a Predators fan. And I was like, that's pretty cool coming from someone who has plenty of teams to come from or root for in California. Really cool. I think we have built the fan experience. I think we have a great venue. They continue to improve it. We have the upgrades to Bridgestone, which we might can talk about in a future episode. that are planned as far as like adding the hotel and some of the extra amenities. I think we got the total package right now. But that said, several years ago, I would not have had it at number one. So.
Okay. Good explanation for it. All right. You know, like you said, the state of hockey in Nashville is great. You know, we just came off a cup finals. You know, maybe it'll run to actually win the Stanley Cup next year. Maybe. I mean, that would be great. But Kyle, you mentioned a team a minute ago that we kind of roasted you for, the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know,
you're about
what,
to get roasted.
You know what?
You're about to get roasted. Because I just said current.
You know
do
what?
Do you honestly think this team is current?
Do you know what a Columbus Blue Jackets fan does when their team wins the cup?
What's that?
They turn off the Xbox.
Because it's a fantasy world.
That's right.
I told you before we started recording, I was going to give you the opportunity for a joke.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Just landed it.
The team you're about to say, please back it up.
Oh, my number one?
Yeah, I know, because I know what your number one's going to be.
I can't see it. I'm across the other
side
of the table.
No, I know. I didn't see it, but I know him. I know exactly.
I'm curious if you're going to get it right.
No,
you say Blackhawks.
I'm just going to say this. There's pizza involved in this. Look at him. He's already laughing. You can't even see him.
If you say Blackhawks, I'm turning your mic off.
Blackhawks. It's the Blackhawks.
You're going to let me get to my answer,
go
or are you
ahead.
Just going to make speculations? What do you think it is, Kyle?
Blackhawks.
My number one, Chicago Blackhawks, baby.
Whatever.
Okay, so explain why.
All right. You can kind of tell by my decisions, it's not really based on how good the hockey team is, because you can even play for a bad team and stand out. Like I said, Vancouver, you could go and play for a bad team and be the best player there, and that'd still be cool. But
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Blackhawks,
we got jerseys,
best
pizza.
Team in the West, but that's not about hockey. It's about the pizza. My favorite food, Chicago style deep dish pizza, baby.
Do you think you're honestly going to be eating that much pizza
yeah.
if you're playing?
Yes,
you
would.
No.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a sumo goalie?
Big enough. I would love to live in Chicago. It's a little bit up north. Hockey's more mainstream up there. Hockey's always good in Chicago.
I would live in Chicago. I agree on a lot of factors on the Chicago
thing. I know that
thing.
You guys are
butthurt
because that's your rival
No. This is teams I would play for. I would have put Detroit on my list several years ago. I think, to be honest, I probably would have put Chicago like maybe sixth on my list currently, which is probably surprising for you because as much as I hate the fans and dislike the atmosphere or just everything about being a rival in that league against them, there are several things I do like. The downtown city of Chicago is gorgeous. I will give you that.
Yes, it is.
They do have great food. They've got the pizza. They have great jerseys. I understand this. I just don't.
Kyle's mocking you.
I don't think currently they're the best team.
Because they're living
they're
in
the
past. They're
only the best team in the West.
They
just
brought,
because
they brought the old band back
the playoffs,
together.
They're still the best team in the West.
No,
after all their trades,
they're not the best team in the West anymore.
So we get rid of
Panarin. According to last year's standings.
I said currently. Okay. Do you think currently they're
well?
The
currently,
best team?
You haven't played any games, so you don't know if they're trades.
Well, we're all zero. Well, if that's the case, then the Golden Knights are sure doing good right now.
They are the only team that's not been defeated yet. So
undefeated
underdogs right there. That's what I'm just saying. Like currently, 2-3 years ago. I would have put Blackhawks probably like 2 or 3 on my list, and that's very surprising. I don't like the fans.
Another thing,
but they're awesome. They're an awesome franchise.
Original Six, they got a lot of history there.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of respect. You can't help but to respect them, Kyle.
No, I agree with that. But like I said, currently I think I would put them at like 6th. I don't know, top 5, just because I wasn't a fan of the reverse trades, basically getting the band back together. I think you would agree with me, they didn't have to make moves. They got scared because we swept them, and then they had to pull the trigger because their fans got a little itchy. And, let's get the band back together from the cup-winning team, and that'll suffice the fans. I don't think that was the best idea because they're older now. That's why I had to drop them out of my top 5. Other than that, I think I would have put them in my top 5. But
well, at the end of the day, yeah, I'll think what you want. I still hate Chicago. So I won't put them there. Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap up for this week. So we're going to get on out of here. You know, we've all got stuff to get going from vacation, busy adult life getting back to us. So thank you guys for listening. You can reach us on Twitter at Music City Gold. Matt runs the account more often than the other two of us. So if you follow him, you're going to probably interact with him. I talk on it occasionally, but if you want to reach out to me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Hancock. And we're still trying to get Daniel one. I almost called you Danny. Wow. Mm-hmm. Trying to get Daniel one. Yep. Ugh. But he does jump on the...
it's like Selly, Danny.
Ugh. I know. He jumps on the Music City Gold account sometimes. So, anyways, that's it for this week. Again, this is Music City Gold, hosted by Penalty Box Radio. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you on the ice.